T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Along with Ray Dinger, I'm Glenn Macnow, 94 WIP. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, Eagles, Tampa Bay Bucks. Locally, we will hear it on the radio with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick, but people out of this area will hear it with Ray, two very familiar friends of ours. Tom McCarthy, with whom we normally talk Phillies baseball, and his color guy this weekend, Ron Jaworski.
That's a good pairing. I like
that. You know what? There's a lot of energy in that pairing. Tom is nice enough to join us now. And I guess, Tom, my first question is, I know you guys are professionals, and I respect that. I mean, Ray and I, you know, like to think of ourselves as professionals. We give our honest opinions. But going to be difficult to hold back your Eagles enthusiasm tomorrow, you and Jaws?
You know, it's funny, guys. I've been asked that a couple of times this week, and I do think that we'll be able to roll it down the middle. I think the good thing is that we have a lot of information on both teams. For me, it's because I did the Bucks last week. Obviously, for both of us, just through osmosis, just being here in Philadelphia. So I think we'll be down the middle. I mean, listen, am I?
Uh-oh.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I mean, we'll be able to roll it down the middle.
Sure.
You know, Tom, you got a chance to see the Bucks last week. So I'll kind of ask you, what's your scouting report on them? What did you see? Because we know who they are. We know they're the defending Super Bowl champs. We know all there is to know about Tom Brady. But what do you think of where this team is right now? Because there was some thought coming down the stretch, and you spent some time with the teams before the game, obviously. That the Buccaneers coming down the stretch, there was some concern that maybe due to injuries and whatnot, that they were running out of steam a little bit. Did you get any sense of that from any of the players or maybe Bruce Arians?
Yeah, I didn't, Ray. You know, I was actually talking to Kruk last week about this because, you know, he's obviously down in Florida. So, and I was telling him that there was a sense going in that with the Antonio Brown situation and with the depletion of the receiving core, with Godwin being out with the knee injury, that they were going to be scuffling a little bit. But even though Grayson went down in the game last week, I did not see any sort of slowing down of the mojo. In fact, I think it was amped up a little bit. I think that, you know, there's that challenge thing that Tom Brady, I mean, people think he's one of the greatest of all time. Some people think he's the GOAT. But I think that he senses this challenge and enjoys it. And I didn't really feel that way. The fact that they were able to kind of slide past the Antonio Brown stuff without even blinking an eye, you know, kind of led me to believe that these guys, because of their seasoning, have such a good idea of what they're supposed to do.
All right, let's talk strategy tomorrow. Actually, I'll set it up this way. The Bucks beat the Eagles earlier in the season. It was a Thursday night game. It might have been October 14th, right in the middle of October. And what I remember about that game was the Eagles running backs had one carry in the first half. And I think the running backs ended up with 9 carries for the game. It was, you know, most of the running plays were Jalen Hurts. I'll set this up by just kind of throwing it to you. The Bucks are going to see an entirely different Eagles offense tomorrow, Tommy.
I agree with that, Glenn. I think that the biggest thing that I see is that game, and it may have even been a game before that where the wake-up started happening, you can't run the ball one time to a running back and be successful. And I think Sirianni has realized that, obviously, because they have been so good. I mean, they're the number one rush team in the National Football League. But I don't think it's going to be the – it's definitely going to be a different game plan. I mean, the quarterback rating itself, not that anybody always understands all of it, was for Jalen Hurts was awful. It was in the 40s in that game. And he's different. The offensive line, despite the fact offensive lineman is by Pro Football Focus is ideal, number four in the league. I think that they are a totally different team going in, and you're going to – I know Lane Johnson wants them to be aggressive, but I think it's aggressive on the ground. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I do, and I'm sorry to interrupt Ray here, but, you know, Tampa I know is a very good run defense, but in recent weeks I saw the way they closed, teams were running on him in December.
Yeah, and I think that if you look at Josh Allen, even though he's a different animal, I mean, he had over 100 yards against them, and quarterbacks have a tendency to run, at least the good quarterbacks have a tendency to run against them. So I don't think there's any question that Jalen Hurts is going to have to be productive in the air, yes, but most really more moving around in the pocket and get out of the pocket.
You know, Brady is he's great for multiple reasons, and we all know that. I mean, longevity is certainly – I mean, whoever thought that a guy would be throw 43 touchdown passes in a year when he's 44 years old. I mean, that's like science fiction. I mean, whoever thought that was going to happen. But I think one of his great strengths is – it's just his ability to adapt. I mean, it doesn't matter from week to week who his receivers are, who they're playing, what the weather is. He just figures it out, Tom. He just knows what I have to do. Okay, I don't have AB. Okay, I don't have Godwin. You know, I'll just throw the ball to Brace, or I'll just throw the ball here. I don't have Gronk, so I'll throw it here. It's, you know, it's a windy day, so I'll throw short. It's whatever he has to do. He does, and I know he misses Godwin because Godwin was really good in the slot. But he's getting Fournette back. He's got Gronk back, who he didn't have in October. And you know, I know the Eagles are going to try some stuff and are going to try and disguise and fool him a little bit. But at this point, you don't fool this guy. At some point in the game, he figures it out, and once he figures it out, you're in trouble.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know if you guys agree with this. I've been saying that they do have to use a lot of man coverage because they have to disrupt him a little bit. But even with that, he's going to figure it out. Think about the first quarter last week against the Panthers. Now, I know that he didn't have the ball that much because the Panthers ran the clock pretty good. But, you know, he had I think it was the lowest total, first quarter total yards for him in his career against the Panthers. And then he just torched them after that. And I agree with you. I think Gronkowski is huge. I mean, we saw in that game earlier this year, they hit O.J. Howard for a touchdown. I mean, he's been sort of nondescript since then. But Gronkowski's got back-to-back 100-yard games. And I know a lot of it was incentive-driven. But, I mean, he figures it out with the best. He gets rid of it faster than any other quarterback in the National Football League. So that's a tough task. I mean, you know, somebody said, well, it's going to be high-scoring. I said, I don't know if it can be high-scoring.
Mm-mm.
Because I don't know if the Eagles can keep up with the scoring, honestly.
Yeah, no. Ray and I discussed this earlier. If the Eagles are going to win, I don't know what the over-under is in the game, but if the Eagles are going to win, it's going to have to come in on the under. I don't think they're going to win a shootout. Yeah,
I agree.
Hey, just real quick, because yeah, I know people who know you, that we do get to hear you sometimes do the NFL games on the radio. You got to do it on Football with Tony Romo. Boy, by the way, Romo and Jaworski, you're working with two quarterbacks who are really good at anticipating the game.
Yeah, and I actually knew that up going into the Romo game last week. And at the end of the first half, I was texting back and forth with a buddy of mine, and I had decided that I was not going to sort of lead him to certain things. I was going to let him kind of lead me more. Mm-hmm. Not that I thought I did it overwhelmingly in the first half, but I just let it roll. And it's amazing. Things that he hears and understands. I mean, I guess if you know the game, you're going to be able to figure it out. But his anticipation, you're right, Glenn, it's pretty remarkable. I know some people think it wears on you from time to time, but I enjoyed listening to it, just kind of listening to the calls and the cadences and then having to figure things out.
I guess you're probably down there now, right, Tom?
I'm not. I'm headed to the airport right now. Ray, I decided to wait a little bit because I had a couple things at home. And with radio, we can kind of zip in and zip out, you know, whereas with TV, I was there on Thursday night.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering if you had any sense or any update whether Levante David is going to be available, because that to me he's so critical to that Tampa defense. When the difference of having him on the field and not on the field is like night and day. And I don't know, you know, Bruce was kind of hedging about whether he was going to be able to play or not. What's the sense that you have about his availability?
I will tell you that last week I had the sense that he was going to play this week. In fact, I had the sense that he, Shaq Barrett, and Jason Pierre-Paul would all be back for this game, which totally changes their linebacking positions, obviously, because they run a 3-4, but those guys are really good in getting to the quarterback, but also sort of containing it. I'm not as confident today, just like you, based on his comments this week. I do anticipate that if he can go, they're going to roll him out because, you know, they felt like he was close last weekend unless he had some kind of a setback. The fact that Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett are probably coming back is a pretty big deal for them too.
Last one for me. What do you hear about the weather? Is that going to be a factor?
Well, I was talking to my favorite weatherman, Chris Wheeler, and he was saying that it could be dicey. I mean, last week there was supposed to be a storm that was supposed to roll in, but it didn't. It got really dark, but it never really got there. So being down there so often in Clearwater, I mean, I've seen storms just pop up and roll in unexpectedly, but then there's games where I thought, well, we're not going to play today. And it was like sunshiny the whole day. But from what I've gathered, from what folks have said, because I have a couple hits on the field tomorrow, and I was told about an hour ago that they may not happen because the weather is supposed to be, a little dicey. So as of now, I think there is an anticipation that's going to rain for most of the second half, but we'll see.
Yeah, nothing against you, but I'm hoping it's stormy weather down there.
Do you think that's an advantage?
I do. I always do. Yeah. I think it helps the running team.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, Brady's ability to do things just is remarkable. But, yeah, I mean, it could. I just think they have to control the clock as much as they can. So,
indeed. Yep. Hey, Tom McCarthy, it's a pleasure. You're a hard-working man, and I hope you have a great game tomorrow and maybe even get to do an Eagles game again next week. That would be fine.
That would be awesome. I appreciate it, guys. Great talking to you.
All right. Have an easy flight.
Thanks, Tom.
There you go. Tom McCarthy.
You know, he's he worked that game last week that they played against Carolina.
Yeah.
And
he was good.
Yeah, he was very good. And he was talking about the fact that in the first quarter, Brady didn't get very much done because Carolina got after him a little bit. And they did change some things, and they did have the offense a little bit off balance. But, you know, you see what happens. Brady just studies that stuff, and then he sees what you're doing. Okay, I got it. I know what I'm doing. And then he comes back out, and he kills you. And once he got into his rhythm, and I went back and I watched it again, on plays when he was running on his schedule. In other words, when the ball was coming out of his hand at his pace, which is between 2 and 2.5 seconds, if you just isolated those throws, which is what really happened from kind of the second quarter on, he was 20 for 21.
Wow.
And the one incomplete was a drop.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to say.
He could have been 20. He could have easily been 21 for 21 once he got his rhythm going. And that's, that's what the Eagles have to find some way to disrupt that, to make him move, to make him reload, to make him, just delay, try and find another receiver. You just have to throw off that timing because if he's running on his schedule, if he's playing the way he wants to play, it's next to impossible to beat him.
I'm telling you, Ray, it's Fletcher Cox Day tomorrow.
Well, that would be huge.
It has to be.
That would be huge because that's, you said it at the beginning, and you're right. I mean, that's the pressure that bothers Brady. He can, if you got fast guys coming off the edge, he'll step up and get away from that. And the guys in the middle of his line, the pocket is generally there. And so he'll climb the pocket, he'll get up, and he'll still throw the ball. But if the pressure is coming straight up the A-gap, if it's right in his face, that's the pressure that will bother almost anybody, but especially this guy. And listen, you've got in Hargrave and Cox, you've got two of the better interior pass rushers. And the simple fact of the matter is if you're going to win the game tomorrow, they have to win the battle inside.
Yeah, and kind of related to that, we don't know what's going on with Josh Sweat, which could be very problematic. The Eagles don't have a very deep defensive line to begin with. Josh Sweat has been bothered all week by abdominal pains. I don't know what that means, but he didn't practice Friday. And usually if you don't practice Friday, you're not going to play on Sunday. So
very, it's very rare. So
whatever he ate passes through him quick enough.
Maybe this will be the game when Ryan Kerrigan turns back the clock.
Ray, put down the bottle. This hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank, one of the area's best business banks. Learn why at meridianbanker.com/WIP. Tim in Glenside is with us tomorrow. Hi, Tim. Tomorrow, today. How are you, Tim?
Today, Glenn there. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm not optimistic. However, I think the Eagles have this year have to be credited the fact that they have beat the teams they've needed to beat at the end of the year, unlike the Phillies not beating the Marlins and Diamondbacks to get in the playoffs, but nonetheless there. Mm-hmm. But you guys mentioned that you thought the Eagles hit their stride in November. And I agree, but, you know, looking at what they have done since November, and, you know, I would say that loss to the Chargers, they kind of swung the pendulum. But is it more who they play? Because just doing some research there, they face the likes of Teddy Bridgewater, Trevor Siemian, mm-hmm. Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, Garrett Gilbert, the combination of Mike Glennon, Jake Fromm, and Tyler Henke, who seems to be the Joe Montana of this group since Herbert. Is this, you know, fool's gold? And also,
before you say anything else, Ray, we've discussed this, but he asks the question.
Yeah.
What's your thought?
It's true. I mean, what Tim says is true. I mean, those are the facts. I mean, that's who you played and that's who you beat. But you still got to beat them. Look at the Indianapolis Colts. What could have looked easier than the final week of the season? We got to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars to get in the playoffs. How hard's that? Well, guess what? It didn't happen. You know, you still got to go out and beat them. And the Eagles beat them week after week after week after week. They didn't have a single stumble. So, yeah, I mean, clearly you're stepping up in weight class here. There's nobody's going to say that that's not true. But it doesn't mean it can't happen. They just have to go out and they have to play. Here's the thing. They have to do something tomorrow that they haven't done all year, and that is play a complete game. They have to play all three phases, have to win, and they have to play good for 60 minutes. And even in the games that they've won, the nine games they've won, they've been sporadic. You know, they've played well for stretches, but they haven't played what you would consider a complete game. They're going to have to play a complete game tomorrow if they hope to win.
And obviously, as an Eagles fan, you want to see consistency, not just this year, but, you know, the upcoming years. Looking at, you know, their roster and everything like that going forward, do you envision them being that Eagles team that we've, during the Andy Reid years, of being consistently? Do they have that core that you think,
I don't know,
5 years from now that they're going to?
It's a good question, and I don't know. Here's what I do think. I think that we've been very pleasantly surprised this year by the development of both Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni. And Nick Sirianni came in as a rookie coach, Ray, and looked overmatched, and he figured it out. And one of the things I respect about him is he wasn't married to something that didn't work.
Right.
And I respect that. And he realized what he had in his offensive line, and he made a new defense, a new offense, and it worked. And I think Jalen Hurts also just kept improving as the season went on. And so I'm optimistic about those too. A lot of the Eagles' better players are on the older side. But there's some young guys there. I mean, Mailata is a young guy you certainly can hope to build around, right?
Sure.
I don't know, maybe a couple of those young linebackers, but they don't have a great young core, I don't think.
No, I mean, they've got
Devontae Smith. I'll put him in that.
You sure would.
Yeah,
I mean, him for sure. I would think Goddard is still a young player who's a guy who's going to be a big piece of your future. You got some running backs who can play. I mean, the running backs are kind of in the mold of what NFL running backs are now. You know, the idea of the one big back who carries the load, the guy who's Emmitt Smith, who's Barry Sanders, who's Eric Dickerson, those guys just don't come along anymore. Most teams, even the teams that can run the ball well, do it with three or four guys that become interchangeable. And that's kind of what the Eagles have right now. None of these guys are superstars, but they're all pretty good at what they do, and they're all diverse enough that the coaches can roll them in and roll them out based on situation. The offensive line is very good. It really is. And tomorrow's game, I mean Sunday's game, is really going to largely come down to the offensive lines. I mean, the Eagles, to have any chance, their offensive line has to play great. And the Buccaneers, I mean, everybody's going to talk about Brady, but for Brady to be Brady, his offensive line has to be really good. I mean, this is a game that's going to be a trench game to a large degree. And
oh,
if it's bad
that.
Weather, even more so.
You love that, don't you?
Oh, I do.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, this year has been a lot of fun for me because I'm, you know,
you've been calling for the run game for 45
years. I've been screaming for the running game for 20 years. So,
right. You are that meme of the guy waving at the cloud, calling for the run game.
Oh, and people
made fun of you for it.
People made fun of me for it for 25 years, but I always contend it that regardless of what the era is, I mean, no matter what the calendar says, You can still win football games if you control the football and you can run it. You win it at the line of scrimmage. I've always believed that. And to see the Eagles actually prove that this year, and for that to be the difference between them being a 2-5 team and a playoff team has been, it's been really a lot of fun.
Ray, there's nothing wrong with validation, is there?
No, I kind of enjoy it, actually.
I'm sure you do. By the way, our quick poll, who would you rather see the Eagles dress tomorrow, Jalen Reagor or Jason Huntley? Which I mistakenly typed out as Huntley. We are up to 1,806 votes in an hour and a half, and Jason Huntley now leads 83-17%. So when we're done, we'll forward that to Nick Sirianni.
That's pretty close to what we actually projected.
It sure is.
When we put it out there, you know, we were saying 80-82. It's even more than that.
There you go. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Ray, you and I do a little whip around the league, and we will end it by picking the game tonight, which is the Bills-Pats. Special guest to discuss that, my dad, Marv Macnow, the world's biggest Philadelphia Eagles fan. This hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank, one of the area's best business banks. Learn why at meridianbanker.com/WIP. Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP.
We all want someone to talk straight with us, especially the person we trust to service our car. And that's exactly what you get at all 12 locally owned and operated United Tire and Service locations. Now through January 29th, you can save $120 on Michelin's best all-season tire, the Cross Climate 2. Now take it from me. You can trust you're getting back on the road safe, whether you need new tires or an oil change. United Tire has it all. Visit unitedtire.com to schedule your next service and tell them that Ray sent you. Don't drive alone. Drive United.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.